wazobona wazobuka wazobona wazobuka izodlala iTV
uzaphe ready ngeke idlale iTV if you love iDisc and don't have iDS. That's why you should get DStv Compact so you can view live festive and super disky with PSL matches midweek and Sundays only on SuperSport on DStv Compact. Hey, kumnandi khaya.
Good day and welcome to the big interview brought to you by DStv Compact. As the country enters lockdown for an initial period of 3 weeks, we still have no clarity on when we'll be able to watch PSL, Nedbank Cup, or GLAAD Africa Championship action again. And we probably won't be able to gain any clarity until the coronavirus pandemic is contained. But in the world of football, we still have very real issues as well. Players have contracts, pre-contracts, and some will be out of contract in June. And we don't know if we'll have any new plan by then. So what do soccer players do in the meantime, apart from juggling toilet paper rolls? To find out, who better than famed agent Mike McCobb of Pro Sport International to break it all down for us? I am your host, Slu Paho, and this is Sokola Duma Radio.
Sokola Duma Radio.
Who will be Dikakapa Tsadiski on the ABSA Premiership? Will a Super Diski to find out? Catch over 200 ABSA Premiership matches, all live and in HD, only on SuperSport. Don't miss any action. Will a Diski on DStv Compact. Kumnande Kaya. Tough times we're living in. How does a super agent prepare for a nationwide lockdown?
Listen, it's not going to be easy, but I think technology allows us to work remotely. And hopefully, as a nation, and the most important thing is as a nation, we all play a vital and a crucial role to ensuring that we limit the effect of the coronavirus as much as possible. I think more important than anything is the health and well-being of our people.
Definitely, and I think obviously the PSL made the right call postponing. SAFA has taken quite a good stance on this, that, you know, even behind closed doors, it's a bit too much of a risk at the moment. How are some of your players handling the news? Are they worried about what's in store at the moment?
I think everybody's a little bit concerned. But, you know, in terms of the league being completed, I think we're in the same boat as the rest of the world, particularly the world where the season runs from July to June. So it's going to be challenging. There is little doubt in my mind that there's going to have to be some change in format going forward. The leagues are going to have to be completed unless it's impossible. And then looking at the new season, my guess is that the various leagues, the various associations will take stock of what has transpired and then make decisions as to the competitions that are held in the new season. I suspect a couple of competitions might fall by the wayside. Cup competitions I'm talking about. We all know that Euro 2020 has been postponed. We also know that the World Club Championships is likely to be postponed. So I think that if you look at it from a domestic point of view, there's going to have to be some form of adjustment which will cater then for the late end to the season.
Definitely. And, you know, I wonder about players who, you know, they've, let's say the players whose contracts are safe for the time being. Does the lack of training and playing at all affect them, or are they protected in that sense?
I think it's very difficult. I think the lack of training will affect all players. And, you know, and I'm talking about all teams across the board. There's little doubt in my mind that the more sophisticated teams will put into place certain training programs for the players. A lot of it will be done, I would guess, online, and maybe even via some sort of video link. But that's not going to be possible throughout, I don't have to tell you. It's not that easy in the less sophisticated countries. It's just going to be very interesting to see how we handle the comeback. So let's assume we decide the league will resume on 1 May. Are they going to give or activity, proper training activity resumes on 1 May? Are they going to give the teams a 2-3 week period, almost like a mini preseason, to prepare. I guess it's going to have to happen. Otherwise, we could end up with all sorts of things happening on and off the field of play, including a lot of injuries. So it's a daunting task, and I think something that we can't even begin to do too much pre-planning for, because the truth of the matter is we don't really know when all of this is going to go back to normality.
Definitely. And you know, you have players who have, for example, signed pre-contracts with other clubs.
Correct.
You know, say if the season were to only come back in July properly, would they still have obligations beyond June for their previous clubs?
I personally think that what is going to happen is that if the league has to be finished, it would really be unfair to, and I don't think it would be possible, for leagues to implement the transfer period as it stands right now. So let's say, for example, a George Maluleka starts his pre-contract or his contract with Sundowns on the 1st of July, and yet Kaizer Chiefs are still playing in the league and Sundowns are still playing in the league and we've got another month to play. Personally, I think the clubs are going to have to agree that all dates of contracts will be extended by a period of 1 month, if that is the case, or 2 months, if that's the case. And that's just going to have to be worked out between all the clubs in the Premier Soccer League. And let's just talk about South Africa for a moment. It's going to have to be worked out by them, and there's going to have to be some fair and just process which goes into place. Can you imagine the playoffs, by the way?
Mm.
The playoffs from the NFD into the PSL.
Yes, and relegation battle in the PSL.
And the relegation battles, and it goes all the way down the various leagues. So all of this, I think, in an ideal world, in an absolutely ideal world, will have to be shifted in bloc.
Mm.
And again, I don't have to tell you, there are commercial ramifications to all of this. Television, sponsorships. I was reading the other day that Serie A are set to be penalized €720 million by their sponsors. How true that is, I don't know. I'm just reading from the media.
Mm.
But I guess there are definite, there are definite clauses in place, I would assume, in these massive contracts, which protects both parties in the instance that we have something that is beyond their control. I mean, this is almost like force majeure.
It would be incredible. You mentioned the potential of cancelling a cup competition in order to finish the league.
Yeah.
I wonder how Absa and Nedbank and Glad Africa are looking at those sponsorship deals right now and trying to figure it all out, you know?
Mm. Yeah, I would think that maybe one would, and I'm just talking off, I'm shooting from my hip now, but I'm thinking as a commercial person now and as a marketer, just maybe a couple of sponsors might have to get together and co-sponsor a certain cup. Who knows? And then what would the rights package be for each of those sponsors? You know, it's all complicated, but doable.
Yeah.
There's no doubt in my mind. And the one thing that we can control and need to control is the spread of the virus. Because if we focus all of our energies on that, all of the rest will fall into place. At the end of the day, it's all honestly insignificant in comparison to the potential effect this virus can have if we don't take it seriously.
And I think one thing that's interesting in the world of football, there doesn't seem to be a doom and gloom attitude. It seems that for the most part, people are still talking about new transfer business, the potential of the next season and all of that. Have you still been involved in negotiations and stuff like that? Has business continued?
Yes, business has continued. We're working remote. In actual fact, we did lockdown 2 weeks ago.
Very nice.
So we took it upon ourselves to do our lockdown because we anticipated that something like this might happen. And why flaunt with destiny when you know that it's inevitable that it's going to happen in our country? So we've been locked down and working remotely. We do all of our meetings remotely. I think as a world, sometimes I call it blessed, and other times I believe it's a scourge, but technology allows you to work remotely and to have your meetings remotely and to service your clients remotely. The only thing you can't do is take them for a cup of coffee, but you can have a virtual cup of coffee, yeah. I guess. So we started this process some time back, and I just think that the most important and vital thing now is for our entire focus as a nation to be on the prevention of this virus spreading out of control. Because I don't have to tell you, if that happens, we're all in serious trouble. Football, yes, business carries on, but it has been slower. I must say that the number of emails I'm receiving, and I've spoken to my fellow staff members, has slowed down dramatically. But I think what will happen is we're all preparing for lockdown, as you know, in our personal capacities as well. I think from next week on Monday, we'll all start working from our home offices and our mobile phones and iPads and whatever. And business may not be the way it is normally conducted, but surely I think that we have to continue. Also, for the sake of, you know, for the sake of the future of the economy, as much as we possibly can do, we have to do remotely.
Yeah. And what was interesting is, to me, I saw after, and I won't name the club, but it kind of made me quite angry when I saw it on Twitter, still held a practice session after, the PSL had come out and said no training or anything like that. They still held a behind closed doors match, but, you know, between, I think, youth level and senior level. What do you make of that kind of lack of forward thinking, potentially exposing those players? Would they be liable? Would the club be punishable for anything like that?
Well, that the PSL have to decide upon. But from a moral and ethical point of view, it for me is absolutely remarkable. I can only imagine it happened because somebody didn't know any better. Mm. I could never assume that it was done purposely. Because if that is the case, I'm flabbergasted. I just think that I'm going to say this, and I'm sounding like a broken record, but we have to take the president's message super seriously, and literally we've got to the letter we've got to implement what he's asked us to implement. And again, I think I need to commend the South African government, because they've acted swiftly. And they've acted very bravely. You know, we're as a country, we're already feeling the pressure of tough economic times, and that is we're all aware of. However, gosh, it can never compare to human life, can it?
Yeah.
We can always start again. As difficult as it may seem, we can always start again, as long as all South Africans are in this boat together, and those that are more fortunate help out those that are less fortunate. And I think that's the key. And it's not, I'm not talking about the super wealthy giving to the poor. I'm talking about those who have giving to those that don't have. And I'm not classifying any levels of financial platform here. I'm just saying that we need to extend a hand to our fellow South Africans wherever we possibly can, and be unified. I mean, if we can be so unified in our sport, in raising the World Cup, and applauding our national rugby team for becoming world champions, not once, but three times, then surely we as South Africans can hold hands and pull each other through this most difficult. It's going to be the most difficult thing that we've ever had to do as a nation.
Definitely. Would I be right in saying that it's kind of a bit too early to judge what the long-term impacts on player contracts and even protection for agents would be at this moment?
Yeah, I think so. I think the difficult part about this whole thing is we truly don't know where its endpoint is and what its endpoint is and what damage is going to be done. We can sort of classify that and we can put it in figures and analyze. If this happens, that will probably be the ramifications. If this happens, this could be the outcome. But the truth is, we're all guessing at this point in time. And I think that it's definitely going to affect all industry. There's no doubt in my mind. Because you only have to think of big corporates who put a lot of money into, let's let's stay on football. Big corporates put a lot of money into football. There's no doubt that they're going to be coming under big pressure now in terms of their figures and their balance sheets. And as a result, one has to expect that there's going to be a reduction in the amount of money that they spend on marketing and the way they market. So it's bound to have an effect in the football industry. And that then will have a knockdown effect on everything. I mean, if you earn R5, you shouldn't be spending more than R5, should you? So I think it's going to have a knockdown effect on everything. But we don't want to be pessimistic. We have to remain optimistic. We have to look at this as being our biggest challenge thus far as a country and as a football nation. And the industry is going to have to pull together and look at ways and means of supporting each other. So it's not going to be the case of players for themselves, clubs for themselves, football agents for themselves, administrators for themselves. It's going to have to be a case where all of the major role players come together and say, listen, we're in this together. We have to make sure that football survives. And for that to happen, we've all got to make some sort of sacrifice along the way. And I think that's going to pull us through.
Definitely. To end off on a more positive note, here's a very random question for you. I've heard esports is likely to see a bit of a boom. Would you ever consider representing some gamers?
Okay, so let me explain to you. About 6 months ago, we were looking at two new aspects to our business. Mm-hmm. I don't want to tell you what the second aspect is, because then I'm going to give my competitors a little bit of insight, the edge. Yeah. But esports was definitely one of the things we were looking at. And had we implemented what we wanted to implement at the time, we were going to be implementing our processes and our thoughts in the next 3 to 6 months. But had we implemented it 6 months ago, we could be seeing Orlando Pirates play Kaiser Chiefs in the derby. Definitely. In front of a bumper crowd.
An online audience, as you
An online audience. Yeah, it's the future. There's no doubt about it. Fastest growing sport in the world, esports.
Definitely. So you heard it here first, everyone. Fire up your PlayStations and Xboxes and get some representation.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much, Mike, for joining me on the show.
Yeah, and to you, your family, to all of your listeners and their families, guys, be safe, take care, be sensible, God bless, and I know we are such a resilient nation. I love this country, I love its people, and there is little doubt in my mind we're going to fly through this, and we're going to be much, much stronger for it. As hard as it is, and as I know people will lose their lives and people are going to get gravely ill, there's going to be a lot of sadness, but I know as well that there will be a light at the end of the tunnel, and we're going to come through this with flying colors.
Wise words. Always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you so much.
And that is how we wrap up the big interview brought to you by DSTV Compact. A big thank you to ProSport International's Mike McCobb for joining me on the show. Stay safe out there, wash your hands, avoid touching your face, and please take the lockdown seriously. From myself, your host, Slu Paho, and my editor, Aidan Hewitt, have a fantastic day.
TV. If you love it, Disky, and don't have it, DS. That's why you should get DSTV Compact, so you can bulay festive and super Disky with PSL matches midweek and Sundays, only on SuperSport on DSTV Compact. Hey, kumnandi kai.